من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. So dear brothers and sisters, welcome to day number 7 from our lecture series on Nabi Lut. The topic tonight, inshallah, will be the arrival of the angels. The arrival of the angels. This is a very important part of the story of Nabi Lut, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala devoted many ayat of the Quran to this topic. Now, I'm not going to be able to cover all of the ayat of the Quran. I will be giving the references. I encourage brothers and sisters to look at the verses themselves and to be able to, inshallah, draw those messages that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to have for this time. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I'm going to start with some verses. Salawat, please. So tonight's speech at first will be two parts. The first part will be a little bit about Nabi Ibrahim, the Malaika, when they come for Rahmah, and they come for good tidings, and Bishara, the same Malaika, who are later going to deliver the Adhab. Those Malaika first come with Rahmah, with mercy, and they come to Nabi Ibrahim. And we're going to go over, inshallah, both sets of ayat. It's interesting how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces himself, and I'm going to share the verses. Before he tells the story of the guest of Nabi Ibrahim, he mentions two traits. Both of them are important for us, especially now if you and I want to be on the front lines fighting for the 12th Imam. Inshallah, you'll see towards the end, when it comes to our responsibility, why we need both of these traits. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is now surah number 15. Surah number 15 and verses number 49 to 51. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is about to begin telling us the story of the guest of Nabi Ibrahim, the Malaika, when they're coming for Rahmah. What does Allah say in the Quran? How does he introduce himself? What lessons do we need to learn so that we can be ready? He says, Nabbi ibadi, tell my servants, tell my slaves, Anni ana al-ghafurur rahim, that I, God, am ghafur and rahim. I am the most merciful, I am forgiving. Is that all God says? Wa anna adhabi huwa al-adhab al-aleem. My punishment is extremely painful. In Islam, when we introduce God, we don't just say God is love. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, his mercy overcomes his anger. But Allah is both sides. He is ghafur rahim. He also has that painful chastisement. And then God says, وَنَبِّئْهُمْ عَنْ ضَيْفِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. After that, he says, and remind them or tell them about the guest to Nabi Ibrahim. So both of these traits, brothers and sisters, for this battle, and this is a strategic battle, it's not just being waged here in the West. This is a battle the Muslims are dealing with globally, including in Iran. When the leader was addressing those people who were going to be reciting the Ahlul Bayt in Iran, what did he talk about over there? What's the connection with the story of Nabi Lut? How serious is this? And your enemies, by the way, are the enemies of mankind. So this is a very strategic battle and very important. In order to be effective in this strategic battle, you and I have to have two things. One of them is we have to have a big heart. Our job is to save as many as possible. We want to promote divine values, so having that big heart. The other part, though, is that the believer, the mu'min or mu'mina, has to also be able to turn it on. There are times when it's not the mercy, when it calls for a stance, when it calls for strength. And this battle calls for strength, that ideological bravery. So we don't want to only be those dry Shias. This is something else you and I have to keep into or take into consideration nowadays. Nowadays, by the grace of Allah, those people who are concerned about the deen and promoting the message of the Ahlul Bayt, they make sure that it's not only the fadha'il of the Ahlul Bayt that they relate. They don't only tell us about the greatness of the Ahlul Bayt. That's not the only thing they do. The message, as you've seen, myself, others who are promoting the message, it's a practical message. What are your responsibilities? What are you supposed to do? How can you be that true soldier of the Imam? Practical responsibilities. There is a danger, though. The danger is if we become dry Shia, dry Muslims. We only have an intellectual connection to the religion, and we're only concerned about our responsibilities. We haven't developed an emotional connection. When we're introducing the Ahlul Bayt, parents, brothers and sisters, those of you who are not parents yet, when you're introducing the Ahlul Bayt, one of your responsibilities is to talk about the practical side, the charity of the Ahlul Bayt, the jihad of the Ahlul Bayt. They're standing up for the oppressed. One part of your responsibility is to introduce the supernatural side of the Ahlul Bayt, those fada'il of the Ahlul Bayt, the things that make the Ahlul Bayt otherworldly. That's also a responsibility. So the masa'ib that we have at the end of the majlis are very important for us. That emotional connection with the Ahlul Bayt is strategically important. We're not going to be able to carry out our mission and build the grounds for the return of the Imam if it's only intellect. It's also emotions. So brothers and sisters, we have to have both. We have to have that love and that rahmah. We also have to have that ghadab. Remember, as Muhammad Ali said, you have to be able to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Our test, what we're trying to do during these nights, is to turn, know when to turn it on. Some people don't know when to say which thing. I heard a story once, inshallah it's not true, they said once this guy, he was lost in the desert. And he was lost in the desert and finally came across a town, a small house. And he went to that small house, and there was a guy there, and the guy was able to help him out, give him some food and water. He was able to recover and not die of starvation. And then he noticed out back that the guy had a horse. He said, "Would you mind if I borrow your horse? I'll take your horse. I'll go into town. Once I get established, I'll bring the horse back." The guy said, "That's fine. You can borrow my horse." He said, "Thank you. Jazakallah khair." He said, "There is one thing you should know about my horse, though." He said, "What should I know about your horse?" He said, "In order for my horse to start running, you've got to tell my horse, 'Thank God.' If you want to stop the horse, you've got to say, 'Amen.'" I'm a Christian. He said, "Yeah, I got that, I got that." He went over, he got on the horse, he started riding. He said, "Thank God." And the horse took off, started running. He said it again. He was feeling a little better. "Thank God. Thank God." Now the horse is really galloping. He is going, and he's charging now. The horse is really going, and then suddenly he sees a cliff up ahead. And the horse is going at top speed towards the cliff. He's trying to remember, "What did I have to say? Whoa, stop." Huh? Then he remembered, "You're supposed to say, 'Thank God.' Or supposed to say, 'Amen.'" So he said, "Amen." And the horse stopped right on the edge of the cliff. He leaned back in the saddle, and he said, "Thank God." So you and I, we need to make sure we know when to say what. When do we turn it on? When are we merciful? We don't want to be naive and soft where we're not supposed to be. You have to hold the line. We'll get to that, inshallah, when we get to the last part. So now, we'll start this first part of the story, which is the guest of Nabi Ibrahim, Allah mentions this 5 times in the Quran, 5 places. How important is it for people to know about the story of those malaika who came to give good tidings to Ibrahim? So this one that I've chosen, because we can't cover all of the ayat, Surah 15, I'm going to start with verse number 52. We'll read through some of these verses. They've got messages. And after that, inshallah, our takeaway for tonight. So initially, brothers and sisters, our prophet, in order for his test to be complete, he's not supposed to know who the malaika are. The malaika are anonymous. Nabi Ibrahim doesn't know the malaika. He thinks they're guests. إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَقَالُوا سَلَامًا. The malaika came to see Nabi Ibrahim, and they said salams. قَالَ. So Ibrahim spoke after that. Here, there's a little bit of, I'm going to have to share what's in the other verses. Ibrahim, in the verse, he quickly says, قَالَ إِنَّا مِنْكُمْ وَجِلُونَ. We're afraid of you. We're worried about you. What happened? Other verses of the Quran explain. Nabi Ibrahim, of course, loved to have guests. There's a lot of serving the guest in these stories, defending the guest, having guests, those people who don't want to have guests. Nabi Ibrahim loved to have guests. Once the guests come, Nabi Ibrahim tries to offer them some of his best food. They take a cow, they sacrifice it, this wonderful meat, we're going to offer it to the guest. And then he notices something a little bit strange. The guests aren't eating any of the meat. They're not partaking of his food. Nabi Ibrahim gets a little bit worried, and he's frank with them. He says, we're worried about you. We don't know who you are. Why don't you want any of the food? The malaika reassure him. They tell him their mission, who they are. They introduce themselves. They give him the good tidings of a son. In the other verses, it tells us that although our prophet is very old, this is important for this story, although our prophet is very old, his wife is very old. They're at the stage that they don't have any hope to longer have children. At this stage, the malaika say that Allah has answered your prayers. You're going to have a child. Nabi Ibrahim, I'm going to move from that verse to another verse and then come back. So now surah number 37 and verse number 112. وَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِإِسْحَاقِ. We, God, gave him the good tidings of Ishaq. نَبِيًّا مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. He was a Nabi, he was one of the righteous. So he gave Nabi Ibrahim, at that advanced age, the good tidings that you're going to have a son. This was literally a miracle for Nabi Ibrahim. He was so old, Nabi Ibrahim, that he was at the stage where normally you would, of course, he had never lost hope in Allah's mercy, but normally at this age you would never expect that you're going to have a child. His wife was also at this stage of her life 90 years old. She was no longer having her monthly cycle. There was no chance in the normal to have children. So now at this age, the malaika give him the good tidings. He was so shocked about it, perhaps wanting reassurance, not that he ever had doubt in Allah's mercy, but he said, what are you talking about? I'm so old. The malaika said this. They told him not to have to lose hope or not to despair. Nabi Ibrahim responds in this way, verse number 56 from Surah 15. قَالَ وَمَنْ يَقْنَتُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّهِ إِلَّا الضَّالُونَ. No one despairs in Allah's mercy except those who are ضالون, those who are lost, those who are misguided. So Nabi Ibrahim isn't misguided. He always had hope. It was just very strange. It wasn't something that normally you would expect. After that, Nabi Ibrahim, so he has the good tidings. Alhamdulillah, his wife was there. She's excited. We're going to have a child. It's Ishaq. Ishaq will be a Nabi. He also asks a question. So what's your mission then? قَالَ فَمَا خَطْبُكُمْ أَيُّهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ. So messengers, what is your mission? What are you here to do? Why are you here? I've gotten the good news now. Alhamdulillah, why are you here? قَالُوا. These are now important, the Arabic of the word. So this is 1558. قَالُوا إِنَّا أُرْسِلْنَا إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ مُجْرِمِينَ. We have been sent to terror mujrimeen. What some of our senior scholars have said about this verse is the malaika were so furious with the action, so upset with this sin. This isn't a normal sin. They didn't even mention what the sin was. They just said that it was a jurm. These are mujrimeen. They're criminals. They also say something else. Illa ala Lut. Except for the family of Lut, that one group of Muslims who was there. Inna lamunajuhum ajma'een. Definitely, 100%, we're going to save all of the family of Lut. Those who are still part of the resistance, those who are standing firm in the face of tyranny, we're going to save them. Except illa imra'ata, except for his wife. She's not getting saved. Later on, we're going to have to find, what did the wife do? What was her sin? The Quran makes her a symbol of kufr. What was her sin? He says, قَدَّرْنَا إِنَّهَا لَمِنَ الْغَابِرِينَ. Definitely, she's one of those people who's going to stay here and is going to catch it. So what happens is, Nabi Ibrahim, as you know, is very merciful. He is loving. He knows that in that town is Lut. He knows that the mercy of Allah is there. Allah wants to save people. Allah has mercy on people. Nabi Ibrahim starts to talk to the malaika. Maybe I can do intercession. Maybe there's still a chance for these individuals. Maybe they don't have to be destroyed. Maybe they don't have to go to hell. So he starts speaking to them. When he speaks to them, the malaika cut him off. They say, Ya Ibrahim, a'rid an hadha. Ibrahim, save your breath. Don't speak. He says, إِنَّهُ قَدْ جَاءَ أَمْرُ رَبِّكَ. The command of your Lord has come. وَإِنَّهُمْ آتِيهُمْ عَذَابٌ غَيْرُ مَرْدُودٌ. There is an adab. There is a chastisement that is coming down on these people. There is no deflecting this, no revoking this, no amount of shafa'ah, even from you. Nabi Ibrahim, even you speak on their behalf. There is no way. This is too deadly. We'll see later why this sin was so terrible. So the malaika are explaining, this is a kill mission. We're not here to take prisoners. We're here to light them up. What happens is the people of Lut are beyond mercy. When our scholars talk about this sin, we're talking now with Allama Tabatabai. What does he talk about? How deadly is this sin of homosexuality? Why is it so definite that brothers and sisters take this as a wajib to defend Islam and the Islamic position on this issue? The explanation we get from some of our senior scholars is this. Zina, brothers and sisters, fornication is a deviation. Fornication is very wrong. When they're applying pressure to the Islamic Republic, one of the weapons is cohabitation. One of the weapons. They know that zina is, right? But it's different for them than how they view homosexuality. Homosexuality is their marhab. Homosexuality is there to, once they get that established, once it becomes something which is the law of the land, everything else goes. Marhab for them. So zina, brothers and sisters, is a deviation. It's inhiraf. It's very wrong. Nobody should do it. Islam, we punish that. That's not good. What about homosexuality? Homosexuality is innovation. This is different. This is something that leads to destruction. And the enemies of mankind are pushing this deliberately. Later on, when we talk about our responsibility, about 100 years ago, the enemies of mankind decided to destroy family, the institution of family. They've been working at it. They've been moving in different directions. Later on, why is it so important? What is our jihad? Later on. But right now, the heaviness of the sin. So the malaika are there. They're there to This isn't we're not here to take prisoners. When Nabi Lut hears from them, he says, Ya Jibra'il, ajil. Light them up. This is a terrible, terrible sin. So what happens is, now we're going to the right. So the Malaika have come. They've given the good news to Ibrahim. They told him he tried to do Shafa'ah. No Shafa'ah. Not only for that qawm, the wife of Lut. She was a sympathizer. She was okay with their lifestyle. Even in her own way, tomorrow, inshallah, if we get a chance, how did she help promote their cause? It's not a big thing, apparently, that she did. That she did means that she goes where they go. So now what happens is Malaika arrive, and now their job is actually to go over and to come to Nabi Lut. This is the last chance for the qawm. One last chance of mercy. The Malaika arrive, and when the Malaika arrive, it's on a Tuesday. The adhab will descend on Wednesday early in the morning. Nabi Lut is out there working in his fields. Suddenly sees the most handsome group of young men he's ever seen in his life, wearing white. And it's mentioned in the hadith from Imam Baqir, they're teenagers. They're young men who don't have beards naturally. In Islam, brothers and sisters, just as it's wajib in Islam for our sisters to wear the hijab, it's wajib, our brothers must keep a beard. They must keep a beard. What happens is, there's some people who naturally, their beard hasn't grown in yet. Their beard hasn't grown in. So these are handsome young men, no beards mentioned in the hadith, and they come in, the most handsome people that the Prophet has ever seen. This is what it says in the Quran, Surah 11, verse number 77. Walamma ja'at rusuluna luta. When our Prophet, Lut, saw the malaika, the verses of the Quran in more than one place talks about how emotional he felt, how difficult it was for him. Si'a bihim. He was so worried. وَضَاقَ بِهِمْ ذَرْعَى. He said, this is, and then he continues, he says, وَقَالَ هَذَا يَوْمٌ عَسِيبٌ. This is a terrible day. Our Prophet knows what his qawm is capable of. He knows that these are young men, these are predators. These young men, they've come now into this town. Nabi Lut speaks to them. They pass salams to Nabi Lut. Nabi Lut, he tries to offer them to be his guest. But first he tells them, he says, do you know about this place, these people? The angels respond in this way. They said, the angels speak, Qalu arsalana sayyiduna ila rabbi hadhihi al-madina. Our master sent us to the leader of this city. He said, well, does your master know what these people do? Does he know about their habits, their rapes, their homosexuality? Qalu. They said, Amarana Sayyiduna Annamurra Wasataha. When sin gets really easy, people should be scared. They said, our master said to march right through the middle of the city. Nabi Lut knows about these people. He says, look, can I keep you as guest? One, the angels accept. He says, can we wait till night? He's trying to protect them. The angels agree to wait till the evening. That evening, Nabi Lut starts walking with the Malaika. Our Prophet is walking in front. The Malaika are walking in back. And they're going now to the house of Nabi Lut. On the way, so Nabi Lut already warned them before. He's thinking now, how can I get these guys out there? Because the hadith says this. He started to say, what have I done? I know these people. He tries to dissuade them. He says this. He says that these are the worst of Allah's creation. You see, the Malaika had been told. I said it was the last chance for their mercy. They've been told, wait until he testifies against his people three times. He said, they're the worst of creation. Jibreel said, that's once. They go a little further. They get up to a little further. Again, he turns back. He's like, you sure you guys want to be here? In my words, he says, these are the worst of Allah's creation. Jibreel says to himself, that's twice. They get up to the gates of the city. Again, our prophet says, they're the worst of creation. Jibreel says, that's three times. After that, they enter the city. Malaika know what they're going to do. So the Malaika come in, walking in, looking extremely handsome, dressed in white. He was trying to take them on like alleyways, backways. They said, no, our master said to go right through the middle of the city. Keep this in mind, though, for tomorrow. It was raining, right? It was raining. Because it's raining, nobody's outside. It's raining. The Malaika go over and they make it to the house of Nabi Lut. Now, brothers and sisters, our message, right, or our lesson. The first lesson is the lesson of hope and thinking good of God. If we want to have a deep emotional relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not one of those professional relationships. Some people have a very superficial relationship with God. It's kind of like work. You know how they say in work, you know, if you can't do your job, then we'll replace you with somebody younger and hungrier. Some people with God, they're like that. If God's good to them, they're good with God. They're happy with God. But if God gives them bala, the relationship with God sours. Having a deep and emotional relationship with God starts with thinking good of God under all circumstances. This is so important. This trait is so important. It's mentioned in the hadith. It can make us be at the same level as the anbiya. Let me just give you a story. Once our prophet, Nabi Dawood, got revelation that there is such and such. It was a young lady. In the hadith that I'm going to quote for you, says, Fulana, the daughter of Fulana. A young lady. This young lady will be with you in your place in paradise. When this happened, our prophet said, it seems that he was curious. He went to go see her. When he went to go see her, he spoke to the young lady and he asked her about her a'mal. What are your a'mal? The lady told him about her a'mal, and they weren't very impressive. When he was listening, he was like, not like 1,000 rakats of salat every night, this, that. Wajibat she was doing. He said, tell me about your niyya. Tell me about you and God. She said this, the way that I am with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is no matter what situation I'm in, no matter what difficulty I face, no matter how bad the situation is, the new situation that I'm in, I'm even happier with God than I was before. I'm having setbacks, things that normally would pay people, they would turn back, get angry, a why God moment. No matter what happens, she says, I'm happier with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, that's why you're there with me in paradise. That's why. That relationship with God. So now my time has come to an end. I want to at least say a few sentences about our responsibility, and I'll leave the rest for tomorrow, inshallah. Brothers and sisters, in order to do our responsibility right now, we've got to do two things. One of them is we need to be vocal, like Nabi Lut, on our stance on homosexuality. It's not enough that we just have it in our masajid. We also have to express our views to others. Don't hide and don't pretend like you're okay with it. The words of the Prophet are this, أَفْضَلُ الْجِهَادِ كَلِمَةُ حَقٍ عِنْدَ سُلْطَانٍ جَائِرٍ. Speaking the truth in the face of a tyrant. That's one thing. The other thing that we have to do is promote chastity and promote marriage. Promote marriage. Talk about marriage. Strengthen marriages. Encourage people to get married. If they can't get married permanently, get them married temporarily. The hadith says this, again from our prophet, Inna Allah ta'ala yubahi bishab al-abid. God boasts about those youth who have come to the religion, who are abid. And he talks to the malaika, he boasts to the malaika, he says, look at my servant, he's abandoned his lust, he's abandoned the wrong way of lust in order to serve me. So brothers and sisters, this is, and I just will have to end now, this is our Karbala. This is their marhab. And I'm using the word marhab carefully, but inshallah we'll leave it for another time.